Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Under the trench coat. With rolling in the kink.
Between all right. The meds and the liquids, fuck, man.
All right, I'm going.
Yeah.
Hello, and welcome to Under the Trenchcoat, the after-show bonus episode for Riven, the Shattered Continent. I am Ken Brown, your Dungeon Master.
I'm Brad, champion of Numerath.
And owner of the Loud Cricket. I'm Nick.
Yeah.
And I'm probably going to sniffle a lot, and I apologize. Very emotional.
Okay. So I want to get this one out of the way because I think that it is it's an interesting game mechanic that I was using, but I think it's also the least narratively interesting here. That Pylorvo was Methuselah dragon, which is kind of like this a step up for me from ancient. So had an according number of hit points, armor class, saves, et cetera, et cetera. And then each time I had a scale. So for each hit that she took from the purple stuff, that it would degrade her down a tier of dragon. So at her weakest point, you guys actually had her down to the lowest that she could go, which is a dragon wormling.
Oh, nice.
That's cool. I figured you were dropping her. I didn't think you were dropping her whole monstrous classes. That's fucking cool.
So kind of according attacks and breath weapon powers and all those stats were going down, 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 which was not fight. I liked it, but it was not super fun to keep track of.
I believe it.
So that's not happening again. But it was kind of interesting, especially when I kind of turned the tables that it looked like things were going to go one way. And then she swallowed her breath weapon and burst out some of those shards.
Which in that moment, I almost asked, but the moment kept progressing enough that I didn't have to, but I was wondering if that was a moment where she tried to use her breath weapon, but we had fucked her up, that she kind of fucked that up. And so she was going to do something different. And then it was a good thing. I was about to ask Brad, I go, is this a good thing or a bad thing? Cause I feel like it's a good thing. And it was a very bad thing.
It was kind of a risky maneuver because she could have tried to use that and maybe gotten some people down. But it wasn't, one way or the other, it was too small of an area of effect to have a big impact if she were to use it, at least not as big as if she was able to kind of power herself back up. So instead of a little 15-foot cone, that it became a much larger cone, and the damage almost triples for what she was able to do. It's huge steps, especially on the breath weapon. The only thing that I did not lower was the hit points. I kept the hit points where they were as a Methuselah. Because she still has that kind of umph in her body.
Right. It would make sense, especially the way we've talked about hit points in passing, that it's not so much your actual life points. It's more of what you can withstand. So yes, her abilities might have been being weakened or whatever, but I mean, she's still a big old lady. So, I mean, death by a thousand cuts is going to get her in the end, but it's going to take a lot. Like, she's going to be able to withstand it. She just ain't going to be able to fight back very well, which is what happened until the end.
That was awesome. Oh, that was awesome.
All right. So that's what I wanted to get out of the way. Nick, you sounded like you had a lot of stuff. I'm curious if Brad has stuff. So start hitting me. Let's go.
So one of the first things was I was going to say something to Brad. So when we were all down, and this is a point where Ken and I apparently are on the same wavelength, because I was we were all down and everything, and Ken was like, "So, Trevor, what are you doing?" And my first instinct with, like, Trevor, with Brad being so upfront, is like, well, that puts me up at 5. And so, like, we all knew, like, audience, Ken, Nick, everybody, the dead NPCs, like, we all knew shit was bad.
Uh-huh.
And so my instinct was, oh, Brad should just pray to Numerath and see if he can intervene in any way. And Brad didn't do that, but Numerath intervened in a way, the fucking big one. And then at the same time, I also had a question as to what would have happened if we TPK'd. Would the same events have transpired?
I am not going to reveal that.
Okay, that's fine.
I had a very specific thing, and I will not reveal what that would be.
That's fine. That answers it loosely, so.
I pondered the praying to Numerath thing, but it felt very tropey.
Yeah,
so
I can see that.
I went with the more current thing of how, if, you know, like I said, if he's died once and if he has to die again, he'll go down protecting his friends. So. But yeah, I definitely thought there that my thought process went there, and I'm like, it didn't feel right.
I get you, because it would have felt a little tropey, and I mean maybe a little cheesy to do that. I don't think that it would have been unsatisfying.
No,
but you're not incorrect with what you're saying either. So,
I do want to call all three of us out. I know this is in the under the trench coat, so it's after the show, so regular audience won't hear this. We forgot con saves on Calm Emotions.
Oh, we did
for the
too.
Entire fight.
Yeah,
which would have potentially helped Lady Pylorvo in dividends.
That was one of the things that kind of got affected by the downgrades, is that at a certain point she doesn't have that anymore.
Oh. So.
Well, but she only got downgraded because three of us were no longer afraid and allowed to keep smacking the shit out of her. Yeah. So I don't know. So I don't know how many times and when, like, Trevor was getting smacked, but I didn't think about it until the fight was almost over and, like, we were all, I think it was when we were all down that I realized, because, like, that had happened. And so it's not like something that popped in my head and I knowingly withheld. It popped in my head and I went, oh.
I didn't think about it either.
Me being the guilty conscience that I am instantly went, and I've assisted in breaking another one of Ken's boss fights.
No, because I missed it too, and I would have the thought, like, after the fact, like, ah, fuck, like, Landros has the armor thing on.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And now I can't even... Shield of Faith. That he had Shield of Faith up and he took damage and I forgot about the saves and stuff. Like, I would have those thoughts after the fact, and I think part of it is because I was trying to juggle so much. So, I mean, this was a very mechanic-heavy episode fight on my end, and so that was my fault that I didn't catch those things. Again, I don't think that it really took away from
I don't think so either.
You know, anything. Maybe it could have changed something. Maybe it wouldn't have. It just depends on what Age of Dragon she was using the stats for at that moment.
It's not like we scrolled through that fucking fight.
If you didn't cast it again, because you never had me make a save again. So if you didn't technically have it go off again and it ended, then they would have been fine anyways, even if mine ended.
Yeah.
Because that was what the words stated was. If it was still up, it would continue. If it wasn't, though, they were fine.
And so. My final tiddly bit is pertaining to thoughts on the whole Zuriel Trevor conversation. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you want me to get into that now or withhold.
Hey, it's up to you.
No, I don't mean like and get Brad. Into it now in Under the Trench Coat or withhold for personal reasons. I mean, are we cool jumping to that point of the episode before we jump all around?
We can jump around wherever the conversation wants to go is where it's going to go.
So
I'm excited to hear whatever is on your guys' mind.
I know that Ken will have little to no input on this because it's spoilery. So for Brad, my thoughts on these things, and I told Ken they are far flung and very exaggerated because my active imagination kicked them out. But so because Zuriel was so adamant against Numerath, I started thinking of ways that he could be a bad guy or reasons that he would have been withheld from history. So actually, I have a quick question. Ken, did... Mm-hmm. And you might not be able to answer this, which is fine. Did Zuriel know that Numerath was what he was while he was in his human form? Like, did she obviously she got upset because big fucking gold dragon poofed into the room. But was she like able to make him from his human form? You can't answer that.
Huh. I hadn't actually thought about that in that moment, and it's an interesting thought. I'm going to say no, she was not able to.
Okay.
That it wasn't until he went big that she put the pieces together.
She wasn't able to because she was behind him, or she just wasn't able to because doesn't really stick out to her in that moment with everything going on.
I think it's with everything going on. I think if she in a different situation, if she would have seen him, then maybe she could have made him for what he is. But in that moment, because of everything that was happening, she could not.
Okay, so that kind of nixes. So one of my ideas was why it was kept out of the books is what if like Numerath, because he was called the betrayer, right? So what if Numerath was like hidden deep in the ranks of the Cabal of Magi, right? That smote the last dragon tyrant. So what if he was like disguised or whatever? But I kind of kick myself in the butt on that idea a little bit. If Zuriel would have been able to make his face in any other situation, it's probably not that thing. Unless he had ways of looking different. So, wishy-washy idea there. But the other one, so that's my argument for Numerath, why he's a good guy. My argument for him being a bad guy is what if he's somehow either planning to, or, I mean, he bit bitch's neck. What if he's draining modicums, if not all types of power from all the other dragons? He is the first, right? He's the firstborn son. So, and maybe he didn't like that, like the lore shit that came out in episode. Kim was like, Syraxis like came about and kind of was above everybody. So, I mean, what if he didn't like that? And what if he's using you to get around to all these dragons, and you're a tether to all these dragons? And I know that Zuriel put a soul in her vial, but he bit her neck. So there's a small chance that there could have been some small transfer of power. Or if she can't find a way to destroy it, he will just take all of the souls at the end and use their power anyway.
Oh, yeah.
So that's my argument for bad guy Numerath.
I think we talked about this once. Like, if, you know, yeah, because you told me Harkos would kick my ass if I went bad.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I remember that conversation.
Yeah, because, I mean, I fully see where this could be headed, to where he turns out to be the big bad of the whole campaign, and I'm helping him the whole time because Trevor's like, oh, I have no reason not to trust him. I can see it. I can definitely see it. I hope that's not it. But I mean, at this point, Trevor's gonna preach Numerath until he has a reason not to.
I mean, I hate to burst this bubble, but Kit and I talked a few weeks ago, and he accidentally let slip my Cobalt girlfriend is the big bad in game boss. So,
aww. Well, you know.
Well, I mean, that's helpful. That's helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Prep for Super Cobalt.
Swole bald. Those are all my things, though. Numerath thoughts being probably the biggest ones, but that's everything I had to talk about.
I'm super excited to like get it out in game.
Yeah. It's been a long time. I mean, not necessarily, but I mean, you've had that information for a long time. Trevor's had that information for quite a while now. And I mean, you haven't gotten even the chance to share that. Mm. And I think that it's like, what if that happened and Harkos had seen that, you know, that Numerath was a dragon and came to hell?
Honestly, I was kind of bummed that he was down. There was no way I could get him back up for that moment.
Yeah, it seems like now it's like, oh, shit, you three were unconscious. Well, my dragon god came and killed. Okay, so, and this is, I'm sorry, I'm sidetracking. That's something that I want to make perfectly clear, is that was all narrative. With that, I did not want to make it like, oh, my badass NPC dragon
god
came and saved the day. You guys for real killed it. Like, in any other situation, that thing would have been dead. That I don't want to take that away from you. That is something that your characters accomplished, is that you killed this thing. That was all purely narrative. I didn't have something come in and save the day. Pylorva was at a grand total of 3 fucking hit points.
When Trevor smacked her.
When I smacked her again.
Yes.
Man.
And there was part of me, I was like, what is he gonna fucking do? Is he gonna hit her? Is he gonna try to get everybody up? Because I mean, he could end this with one fucking hit. It was driving me nuts because I'm like, oh my god, what is he gonna do? And then I'm like, what if he attacks and he misses? And you go fucking flying across the room.
Because I had 5 HP.
I would have been pissed in this under the trench coat if we TPK'd and whatever that played out to be, and then Kim was like, yeah, you guys had her down to 3. I would have had a very hard time participating in the rest of the Under the Trench Coat. Because, I mean, there's no bigger dick tease than be like, yeah, I mean, someone could have sneezed on her, but you guys decided to roll shitty for your fucking breath weapon save.
It did feel really good, this episode and the last one, you know, not really shooting for damage. Like, obviously, I was going to go for damage there, fighting her, and then it was like, do I damage or do I get, you know, 3 people back in the match? Like, yes, which is better?
that was definitely big.
So it felt kind of good playing support.
It's a different thread for Trevor to follow.
Yeah, different thread for Brad to follow.
Yeah, that's fair too. I'm so happy with how this all played out. And I mean, it lends into the mystery so perfectly that the three of that everybody but Trevor was down for Numerath to come in and fucking bite the neck of this bitch and then send her into the fucking bottle. And then
and I wasn't even thinking when you initially did the breath weapon. I'm like, ah, oh, balls, that's a lot of fucking damage. And I didn't make the save. And then I'm like, wait a minute. That pillar was like half and half. Yeah, I better ask.
And the breath weapon, I played different, that I just took whatever the amount of damage was. And like, it wasn't, you know, 8d6 of this and 8d6 of that, that it was just damage. Uh-huh. And then it just split it in half. And so half of it was necrotic, half of it was fire.
Yeah. And if it hadn't been, then we were all down. That fire resistance is the only thing that saved me. My 5 HP.
Yeah. And that was a very, very intense last few moments there.
Yeah, it was.
I will I'll give you this. You were asking like the what if Harkos would have been up for that. I was honestly thinking while I was sitting there listening to Zuriel and Trevor hash it out, I was thinking about how I would respond like during that fight and stuff. And so I can't tell you entirely what Harkos's reaction would be, but in the moment, it would definitely be something where when it initially happens, he would kind of he would be in shock and not know what to do. Then when Zuriel starts throwing accusations, Harkos would swallow his shock and awe and go to Trevor's defense because, I mean, they're good friends. So yeah, Trevor hasn't talked about it, but Trevor's been trying to tell Harkos that we got to talk about shit. So Trevor's got lots of fucking explaining to do, but if my friend trusts him, I trust my friend. And then when we're behind closed doors, I'd be like, you know what? I'm kind of on her side. What the shit? What the shit is going on? What the fuck? And so I don't know where it would evolve from there. And I don't know how it's going to go when we have this conversation in game, but in that moment, just with everything that has been happening since we've left Iron's Edge to Erremor, Harkos would swallow his questions and concern and just be like, you know what, lady, we barely know you. You have no right to come at my friend like this. Like, that dragon just saved all of our asses. So maybe just be thankful and we'll deal with it if it becomes a problem later. Thanks. Bye.
Well, see, and that's one of the things, too. I think Trevor's going to try to have us all in a room because, you know, he may not know her, but obviously she's there to help. And whether she has a problem with Numerath or not, you know, if she's part of the team, quote unquote, she needs to be there for whatever he says, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be interesting.
57 is going to be the start of a doozy of a time, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. And especially since I kind of told Brent, I can't remember if I talked about this in mass, but this is where I kind of want to try to sandbox a little bit and let you guys choose. So I'm going to be laying out some things that are happening.
Nick and I already chose our path.
Yeah, Brad and I have already discussed if there's an option, we're picking it.
Yep.
I'm curious what your option is.
We're curious what your options are going to be.
You can remain curious, sir.
I guess I deserve that.
Yeah. Yeah, Ken, I'd love to keep talking to you about it, but that's where we're going to call this topic.
All right. Yeah. Well, any other final thoughts, questions, concerns before we close up the trench coat?
Not that I could think of.
I don't think so.
Everybody forget that I cried. Again.
That was a big moment, was stepping out and, you know, these four guys walking out and this is the second town that you've saved from these creatures, and you have the entire city staring at you going, they just saved all of our lives and cheering for you. That's I can't imagine what any of the four of the characters are really feeling in this moment. I think Phil's probably just like overwhelmed and has fucking idea.
We've done big shit. Like, I've played characters with, like, Ted helped out Ravenloft a shit ton, and my little fucking town that I was a mayor of and I could never leave, I did great there. I did great things there, and the people loved me for it, and I helped rebuild that inn I don't know how many fucking times. And then Ondine, I mean, we were champions. Everyone couldn't stop telling us we were champions. like there were great shit that happened there, but I'm Nick as a person doesn't take compliments well. Because I don't have
Samesies.
Solid self-esteem, and it's something I'm working on, and I've done better since being with Jen, because she's helped me see my self-worth in different avenues of my life. But because of my bad self-esteem, I plug it into my characters, and I'm trying to play Harkos different because I want a different feel, and I wanted to do something new and exciting because we were doing the podcast, which was new and exciting, and I don't want to downplay Iron's Edge, but that was the first moment where I had to like fight my urges and be like, Harkos accepts that yes, we are Cavalier Knights and we're deserving of these titles and we did great things for your city. And he's not like being uppity about it, but he's appreciative that he's being shown that people appreciate what he did. But for whatever reason, walking out of that cathedral just hit me in a way that hasn't happened in a campaign yet. And I don't know why. I don't know if it's because something in my head feels different. I don't know if it's because, like, the road to get to walking out of that cathedral was so fucking bumpy. I don't know what it was. But you started saying that, and I was just like, why the fuck am I crying? Like, this isn't even that sad. This is a good thing. But I just felt my eyes well up, and then I was like, okay, you gotta clean yourself up by the time you get to your song. Couldn't fucking do it, though. Couldn't fucking do it.
I think Trevor would be more worried about his friends and at this point now probably explaining this whole Numerath thing to them.
Trevor has some pretty intense shit on his mind. Because you've got, you know, this being that has helped you and aided you and made you strong, made you able to protect the people around you. And then you have this other person that's saying that dragons are unequivocally evil, that all that they've done is evil, which is a huge turn on typical dragon mythology in D&D, that the metallic dragons are good and the colored dragons are evil, or, you know, the chromatic dragons are evil. But it's a huge turn on that, and I like the mystery a lot.
Oh yeah, I'm enjoying it. This is it's definitely interesting. It feels so good to be Trevor again, though. Well, let me tell you,
even from my side, it feels good to have Trevor back there. Lanros, he could snark, but he doesn't have what Trevor's got in terms of that kind of like snooty, self-righteous attitude, but with a little bit of fuck, I don't want to die.
It's reserved ever so slightly. Yeah. Did you like my awe moment with you, Trevor? Where Nick broke the fourth wall to let you know that had Trevor and his fire resistant self not been there, we would have fucking lost. I thought that was a nice, sweet way of saying, way to go, Brad.
Yeah, I like that one. All right. Such a good episode.
Let's go ahead and close the trench coat on up. So, I'm Ken.
I'm Brad.
I'm Nick.
And we'll talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Love you.
Stop it. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.